Now, the epistle appointed to be read for Passion Sunday is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9. Brethren, Christ being come a high priest of the good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, neither by the blood of goats or of calves, but by his own blood, entered once into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and of oxen and the ashes of a heifer being sprinkled sanctify such as are defiled to the cleansing of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who by the Holy Ghost offered himself without spot to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And therefore he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of his death for the redemption of those transgressions which were under the former testament, they that are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 8. At that time Jesus said to the multitudes of the Jews, "Which of you shall convince me of sin? If I say the truth to you, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth the words of God. Therefore you hear them not, because you are not of God." The Jews therefore answered and said to him, "Do we not say well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you have dishonored me. But I seek not my own glory, there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Amen, amen, I say to you, if any man keep my word, he shall not see death forever." The Jews therefore said, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead in the prophets, and thou sayest, if any man keep my word, he shall not taste death forever. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom dost thou make thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father that glorifieth me, of whom you say that he is your God. And you have not known him, but I know him. And if I shall say that I know him not, I shall be like to you, a liar. But I do know him and do keep his word. Abraham your father rejoiced that he might see my day. He saw it and was glad." The Jews therefore said to him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" And Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was made, I am." They took up stones, therefore, to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. That by means of his death, they that are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance in Christ Jesus our Lord. Words taken from the epistle of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, this morning I would like to tell you a true story related by a certain priest about a young man and a crucifix. The young man, whose name the priest did not reveal, was invited one day to dine with close friends of his family. The family was Catholic and was very devout and regular in their practice of the faith. The young man was a baptized Catholic, but as he grew older, he began to doubt his faith until he eventually gave it up in order to lead a sinful and even scandalous life. But during the course of the dinner and throughout the conversation at the table, the young man's attention was steadily drawn to a large crucifix hanging on the wall opposite where he was seated. Beneath the crucifix was a little plaque which was engraved with these words, "I did this for thee. What hast thou done for me?" Throughout the dinner, his eyes constantly reverted to the crucifix and to those words, "I did this for thee. What hast thou done for me?" Before the evening came to a close, he actually began to feel troubled about the life he was leading. At length, he thanked the family and returned to his home, but that night he could not sleep. He could not stop thinking about the image of the crucified Savior, whose head was crowned with thorns, whose hands and feet were pierced with nails, and whose body bore the wounds of the scourging. And then those words, "I did this for thee, what hast thou done for me?" Those words which seemed to pierce his heart. The following morning, when he awoke after a few hours of sleep, he prayed for the first time in many years. And moved by God's grace and the thought of the love of Christ for him, which love he saw so perfectly depicted in the image of the crucifix, he went to the church, and there he humbly and sincerely made his confession. And with God's grace, he was determined that he was going to lead a Catholic life and even do as much as possible for the one, he said, who had done so much for him. Now today, my dear people, as I said, is Passion Sunday. And it is called Passion Sunday because the church begins on this day to make the sufferings of Christ her chief thought. In the very first centuries of Christianity, it was a practice that public penitents were actually excluded from entering the church from the beginning of Lent until Holy Thursday. This practice and discipline ceased over time, but it was replaced by a practice of hanging a large curtain between the sanctuary and the nave of the church. That is, a large curtain hung between the people and the sanctuary. And this curtain hung from the beginning of Lent until Holy Thursday. And the idea behind this practice was to remind people that all were sinners and all were penitents. But eventually this custom and discipline too of hanging the penitential curtain, as it was called, was replaced by simply covering the statues, crucifixes, pictures of the saints with purple veils. The purpose, however, remains essentially the same. It is to redirect our focus to the fact that we are sinners and that we are in need of a Savior, whom St. Paul refers to in the epistle to the Hebrews in today's Mass today as the High Priest, who entered the Holy of Holies once, that is, who was put to death for our sins. It is to thus impress upon us the reality of sin and the price of our redemption, the blood of Christ shed for our sins. The church then, by means of such things, seeks to move us to be truly sorry for our sins and firmly resolved, even as she draws our mind and our hearts away from the things of the world and draws them to the events that will unfold during the Holy Week, that is to say, the Passion and Death of Christ. When, my dear people, we will see our divine Savior covered with blood in Gethsemane and abandoned by his apostles and friends on that first Holy Thursday. When we see him bound with ropes and tormented by the soldiers of the high priest of the Jews. When we see him mocked by Herod and his court and called a fool. When we see him tied to a pillar, and we see his sacred flesh torn from his body. When we see him crowned with thorns and streams of blood trickling down his bruised and disfigured face. When we see him unjustly condemned by Pilate, my dear friends, and then handed over to a vicious, bloodthirsty rabble, and then watch him as he stumbles and falls, carrying the heavy cross to the narrow streets of Jerusalem. And when we see him meet his sorrowful mother, whose immaculate heart is pierced with unspeakable grief, and we see the soldiers then pound the nails into his hands and feet on Calvary, and there raise up that cross for all to see. And while we watch him patiently hang from that cross and suffer the most excruciating torments of body and an abandonment of soul that is beyond any loneliness we could ever feel here, when we see these things, my dear friends, we really must ask ourselves, is it possible to refuse to love him? Is it possible to refuse to do what he asks of us? I did this for thee, he says to each and every one of us. I did this for thee. And then he asks, what hast thou done for me? In other words, my dear people, is it possible for us who have the one true faith and believe in Christ? Is it possible for us to refuse to love him? Is it possible for us to refuse to keep his commandments? Will we not then give up bad companions, that is, those people who lead us into mortal sin? Will we not give up the television, the movies, the music, and other things which are proximate occasions of mortal sin? Will we not give these things up for Christ crucified? Will we not give these things up for him who gave his life up for us on the cross? Remember, my dear friends, that mortal sin is not just about breaking a law and paying a fine, that is, doing a penance. Mortal sin is about crucifying a Savior. Will we not then give up the occasions of mortal sin for him? And will we not also be generous and carrying our cross after him? That is, will we not strive to be more patient when we are inconvenienced? To be more patient when we are tried by difficulties and trials in our state in life? Or when we just don't get our way? Will we not be kinder to others and more compassionate and understanding towards others? Will we not forgive others as he has so often forgiven us? The heart of that young man was moved by the image of the crucified Christ and those words, I did this for thee. What hast thou done for me? With the help of God's grace, that young man, who had given up his faith and his love for God and ultimately gave up his eternal salvation, but by God's grace, he was moved to repent of his sins and to love his divine Savior. Even as he was ready to change his life and give up those things which led him into sin and separated him from his crucified Savior. And why did he do this? He did it simply because he came to understand what the crucifix means. He came to understand, my dear friends, that the crucifix is not a mere decoration. It's not some empty symbol that we have in the church, that we have in our homes. But the image of the crucified Savior on the cross is a holy and powerful reminder of what Jesus Christ in his infinite mercy and love has done for us. Even as it is a reminder of what we ought to do for him in return. St. Alphonsus de Liguori says, "It was for this end that our divine Savior suffered so much on the cross, in order that we should think of his sufferings. Because if we think on them," this great saint says, "it is impossible." It is impossible, St. Alphonsus says, not to be inflamed with divine love. As we prepare for another Holy Week, in which, through the beautiful ceremonies of the Church, we will, so to speak, relive the events of the Passion and Death of Christ, we will follow him on Holy Thursday from the Garden of Gethsemane to Good Friday, to his Passion and Death on the cross. As we follow these ceremonies, as we contemplate the Passion and Death of Christ, let us dispel the coldness and indifference from our hearts. Even as we spend, and how much I encourage you to do this, to take a few moments of your busy day and consider how much Jesus loves us. And as we do, let us make a return of love to him. Let us offer him our hearts each day. Hearts full of gratitude, hearts that are pure, that are patient and kind, and hearts that are ready and willing to lose this world and all its things, rather than to ever lose God's grace and love. Give me thy heart, our crucified Savior says to us today on this Passion Sunday. Give me thy heart by striving to keep my commandments. Give me thy heart, he says, loving me in the most blessed sacrament of the altar. Give me thy heart, he says, by placing me in the center of your homes, and making the law of my love the law of your home, so that goodness and kindness, he says, obedience and even respect may ever reign in your homes. Do this, our crucified Savior says. Do this if you love me. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.